I'm just going to pray and lead us in to the word today. Lord, we have just come to gather before you. And may we forget everything else but you. May we forget everything else but you. May we forget everything that tries to rival itself against you. And I just feel you calling for our attention today. I feel you calling for our eyes and our minds, our ears and our hearts, and we just give them to you willingly. Would you find in us humble hearts to yield to your spirit? That our hearts would be malleable to your spirit, that we would not resist your word, that we would not resist your truth or your presence. God, may we forget everything else but you, Lord. Yes, Lord. You have no rival. You have no rival. You have no equal. So God, we give you what you're asking for today, us. We give you our attention. We give you our eyes and our ears, and we're listening, Lord, to whatever you want to say today. And God, we thank you for your perfect word, for the infallible word of God, and for the precious Holy Spirit that hasn't left us. Since the day of Pentecost, your spirit has come and roamed the earth, and we're grateful, Lord. Would you find in this body a house for your spirit, Lord? We thank you for the temple that you're building in us, and we say, have your way, that we would yield, that we would yield, that we would yield, that we would forget everything else but you, Lord. So we put you in your rightful spot, Jesus. We've come to worship you. Give us the fear of the Lord, that we would not take your word as common today. That we would not take it as common to all have a Bible in our hand and to hear the word of God preached. Lord, would you anoint Jonah not for his sake, but for ours, for this city, for this state. Would you anoint him and speak through him, and we will honor God inside of him today. And we receive the word of God today. And we're so grateful. May we forget everything else but you, Lord. Have your way. We love you. And we say yes to everything you have planned to do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. You guys can all go home now. That's church. We just did church. Oh, my gosh. Can we just give it up for Pastor Lynn and Pastor Renee again? I want to just honor to... Gosh, every time I preach here, I cry. Why? What is up with that? It's a good thing. It's the Spirit of God. I just want to honor Pastor Norm and Ruby. I was at their 70th anniversary party. It was a party. And if you were there, it definitely felt like a party. Who is at that? Just celebrating Pastor Norm and Ruby. Who's thankful for Pastor Norm and Pastor Ruby? And after being there, I just definitely thought, I want to be like these two. And what impresses me more than anything, I haven't been in ministry or saved long. I got saved when I was 13. I'm going to be 29 this month. My birthday is this month. So if you want to get me something, no, I was joking. But you can just pray for me. But what impresses me more than anything is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Not how gifted somebody is, not how impressive somebody is, but it is being faithful to your wife, to your kids, to the Lord. And in this hour, in this day, I just believe that the Lord, revival looks like healthy family. Revival looks like minding, what does Reinhard Bonnke say? What matters in the what matters most in the end. Mind in the beginning what matters most in the end. And I don't know about you, but when I get to the end of my days, I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not good world changer, not amazing preacher, not amazing pastor. I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful." Come on, say it with me. "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I want to serve the Lord with my best. I want to serve the Lord with all that I have. And I want to be faithful in the end. That's what's impressive to me. It's a healthy marriage. It's kids who serve the Lord. It's dwelling in the house of the Lord. You know, it says in Psalms, is it okay if I just jump right into it today? It says in Psalms that those who plant themselves in the house of the Lord will flourish like a palm tree. Let me say that again. Those who plant themselves in the house of the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord today. Welcome to God's house. This isn't your house. This isn't my house. This is His house. This is His place. And it's incredible how I think in the West, in America, we've taken advantage of God's house. And we've made God's house all about us. This isn't even what I was, you know, about to preach. I have a totally different message. We'll just see if I get there though, you know. But we have made church all about us. And if you look at the church in the West, it's all about what Jesus can do for you. It's all about consumer and cultural Christianity. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I don't believe that's here at Valley Church, but I've been to a lot of churches. I've traveled and spoken at a lot of churches. And what I've seen is we usually make church all about us when it's actually all about Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord. And it's not about me either. It's not about a person with a microphone. It's not about a person. We don't build the church off of a good preacher. We don't want to build the church off of a good worship leader. We don't want to build the church off of some anointed man of God. It's like the man of God, the man of power for the hour. What even is that? You're not supposed to worship a preacher. You don't worship a worship leader. Just because Carrie Job is leading worship doesn't mean the church service is better, even though I love Carrie Job. Okay, I'm not saying like, just hear my heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we make it about that all the time. We make it about the celebrity or the person with the gift. It's not about the person with the gift. It's about the gift Himself. Jesus, He's the gift. He is the gift. It's about the one who is high and lifted up and who draws all people unto Himself. And it's not about worship. You know that verse where it says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Him? It's not about lifting Him up in worship. It's about the one who was lifted up on a tree. The one who was lifted up on a tree will draw all people unto Himself. And we are in church today because of Him, not because of any other name. We're not meeting because of any other person or any other name. I am not that special, and I could go down the list and all of our pastors. We are nothing without the Lord. And as long as the Lord has me in ministry, this is what my heart wants to be. I never want to make this about me. I never want to make this about my thing. I'm not trying to build my church. It's not my church anyways. Jesus said that on this rock of revelation that Peter had, when Peter said, "You are the Christ." Do you guys know this verse? Jesus asked the disciples, He says, "Who do they say that I am?" Who do they? Say they. He says, "Who do they say that I am?" And all His disciples start chirping. They go like, "Some people think you're Jeremiah. Some people think you're John the Baptist. Some people think that you're Elijah." And He's like, "That's great what they say, but who do you say that I am?" Let me stop right here. what you think about Jesus is the most important thing in your life. Because who Jesus is to you is who he will be through you. Let me say that again. What you think about Jesus is the most important part of your life. Who he is to you is who he will be through you. If he's just a good teacher, that's all he'll be. If he's Lord, that means he's worth everything. Hudson Taylor, a missionary, said, if Jesus is not Lord of all of your life, he's not Lord at all. A Lord deserves everything. Ah, okay, so you guys can tell I'm happy. Are you happy? All right, I'm happy. So Jesus says, who do you say that I am though? And Peter gets a revelation from the Father himself, Jesus says. And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that moment, Jesus goes, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Blessed are you. My Father in heaven revealed that revelation to you. Blessed are you. And he says, your name is now Peter. And then he says, and on this rock, some of us think it's on Peter because he changed his name to rock. No, he's talking about on the rock of revelation that I am the Christ, I will build my church. So, because a lot of us, we take that and we're like, oh, he built his church on a man. No, he built his church on the revelation of the Son of Man. Oh, come on, somebody. Because Jesus says this. Am I preaching too fast for you this morning? Are you following me? Okay. Jesus says this, I will build my church, not Peter's church, not Paul's church, not Rock Harbor's church, not River House's church, not Valley Church. Come on, we are one kingdom, one church under Jesus Christ. And I've been in ministry long enough to see that there's division in the body of Christ because we're all trying to build our own thing instead of his thing. We all want to build our dream instead of his dream. I want to build Jesus's dream. I'm not trying to build a church. I'm trying to build a kingdom. He builds his church. I'm trying to advance a kingdom. I want to see lost people saved. I want to see sick people healed. I want to see demons cast out. I want to see what Jesus saw today in our churches. Not just Valley Church, but in the Treasure Valley. And I love what my wife talked about this morning. And who knows if I'll even get to this. And Jared, you're probably going to have to go. Otherwise, I'm just going to... Guys, can you give it up for Jared? Give it up for Jared. Love you, Jared. I love what my wife was saying. It's this idea of dreaming big enough for a God dream. Allowing our hearts to dream again for what God wants to do in our lives personally, but what God wants to do in this city. And that's kind of a message for another day. I don't know if I should go there. But I want you guys to start praying, and I want you to start thinking and dreaming, God, what is your dream, not only for me, what's your dream for my neighborhood? What's your dream for my city? What's your dream for the Treasure Valley? And I'm just going to say, not just Caldwell, not just Nampa, not just, what do you think, Lord, about this city? How do you want to reach this city? Can you do that with me and start to ask God for God dreams? Amen. Are you guys okay? Okay. Well, I'm so excited for today, and I want to jump in to what I believe the Lord has put on my heart for today. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 6? Did he just say Leviticus? Someone was like, I've never read Leviticus in my life. I skip over that book every time. Well, I'm preaching out of Leviticus today, so buckle your seatbelts. I'm so excited for this. I'm gonna turn there because I wish I had more in my iPad. But Leviticus 6, And I want to just give some context here to Leviticus chapter 6. In Leviticus, Moses is establishing something called the Tent of Meetings. He's establishing the tabernacle of God. And this would be a meeting place where God actually meets with his people and his tangible presence shows up. Who would want to be there in the Tent of Meetings? Come on, if God is there, I want to be there. If the Lord himself is there, that's the place that I want to be. But unfortunately for the Israelites, the only people who could go into that place were the priests. The Israelites would stay outside the tent, but they could see the glory of the Lord. When you read through Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all throughout Scripture, they would see the glory there. They knew the Lord was there, but the priests represented the people. Are you following? Okay. Side note here. In the New Testament, all of y'all are priests. The Bible actually calls you a royal priesthood, which means you have access to the presence of God. Can I hear an amen in Valley Church today? So we're not talking about separated or not. You are included in this. You are a priest unto the Lord. And I love this verse right here. This is Leviticus 6:12. And 13, it says this, "Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out." Say never. "It must never go out. Each morning," say each morning, "the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never," say never, "never." "It must never go out." Here's what I believe that the Lord is doing, not just here at Valley Church, but all over the earth. I believe the Lord is teaching the body of Christ how to tend to the fire of his Spirit again. I believe he wants to teach us to tend to the flame of the Lord. And I want to just show you something in Scripture that blew my mind this week, because when you don't know the Bible, it's just not as fun. You read verses and it's like, this doesn't really make sense. But when you know the context of Scripture, it makes so much more sense here why this is so special. When I first would hear this, I always thought, oh, this is just a fire that men prepared in the tabernacle. They prepared this fire for the Lord. It's easy to start a fire, is it not? Men in here, hopefully you know how to start a fire. I had trouble with it this week. My wife bought me for my birthday, early birthday gift for me, a solo stove. Anybody heard of a solo stove? It is glorious. If you haven't, go to Shields, buy one today, okay? Solo stove, it is a smokeless fire pit. Smokeless. Yeah, I mean, I thought I would hear more wows than that, but it's a smokeless fire pit, okay? It's pretty big deal. And but my wife, unknowingly, I'm going to throw you under the bus today. I hope that's okay. She bought kindling with a little bit of sap on it, okay? And that created so much smoke, I thought my solo stove was broken. I got my little torch on it, just lit it, and then all of a sudden, the kids are all out there like, "Yeah, Daddy, light the solo stove, light the fire." And all of a sudden, there's this black smoke, and I was like, "Did I sin? I must be not right with God." I was like walking around, and I'm like, "This solo stove is new and perfect, and there's black smoke everywhere." But we learned it was just sap on my kindling, okay? And but it's easy to start a fire. But what's so amazing and different about this fire is what I want to read to you in Leviticus 9:12. So we just heard instruction from the Lord. But in Leviticus 9:12, when they established the altar where the fire would go on it, this is what it says. "Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar, and when the people saw this, they shouted with joy and fell face down on the ground." See, what's so significant about this fire is it wasn't fire made by a man. It was fire that fell from heaven and came from the Lord. It was the Lord himself in a flame. Something that Moses was familiar with, because if you remember how God called Moses, how did he call him? Burning bush. A fire, an all-consuming fire in a bush that should have been consumed. The Lord called Moses from fire out of a bush. Are you following this? So the flame is not just some substance. It is the Lord's presence on the altar, burning morning, noon, and night. And the Lord orders the priest to tend to this flame. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but I want you just to follow me, okay? So he's telling the priest to tend to the fire. Say, tend to the fire. And it said every morning. I want you to see 2 Chronicles 7:1 now. This is different. This is not Moses. This is Solomon. And Solomon had a dream to actually create a temple for the Lord. And it says, when Solomon finished praying after dedicating the temple, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And look at this. And the glorious presence. Woohoo! The glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. And when you read the rest of 2 Chronicles 7, it says that everyone again fell face down in the presence of God. Actually, the word there for glory is Shekinah glory. It was a visible manifestation of the presence of God to the point where people couldn't play their instruments anymore. Who would like to be in a church service like that? Come on, somebody. Where we're just worshiping, and then all of a sudden, God's manifest presence comes, and we're all just like, we can't even play anymore. We're just going to lay down, fall face down, honor the Lord. Why? Because this place should be a resting place for the Lord. And it is a resting place for the Lord. This is a modern temple. Okay, I want to read you, I'm going to go through some verses, and then I'll preach it and make it plain, okay? This is Hebrews 12, 28 through 29. And I want to just reiterate the point that God himself is the fire. It says this, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. God is not common. Can I just say that again? The Lord is not common. He is set apart. He is other than. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. He is different. Say different. That's holy. He's set apart. He's different. And it says this, for our God is a devouring fire. NASB translation, ESV says it this way. It says that our God is an all-consuming fire. It means that whatever the fire of his presence touches, he doesn't just somewhat consume, he's all consuming. Okay, so are you guys getting this? You're following this. He is the fire. He sends the fire. He is the fire himself. We've come to this kind of a kingdom. Now I want to read to you Romans 12, 1 through 2. So I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Stop right there. In the Old Testament, what did they bring to the altar? Sacrifices. Animals, they had dove sacrifices, ram, lamb, greens, beans, potatoes. You guys don't know that song, okay? Rams, hogs, dogs. Okay, so you can go through all the different things. But they would bring animal sacrifices. Paul, who if you don't know Paul, get to know Paul, read Paul. Paul here in Romans 12 is saying, the sacrifice is not an animal on the altar now. You're the sacrifice. Not the sacrifice that died on a cross, but the one that tends to the fire now is not something that you can bring. It's you that you bring. Yeah. Are you following this? So he's saying, put your body, lay your life down on the altar, and the one who consumed the offering will now consume you. I don't know about you, but I want to be consumed by the Lord. I don't want just some of Jesus. I don't want just half of Jesus. I want all of Jesus. I'm desperate for his presence. I need his presence. I can't wake up without his presence. And I definitely don't want to do church. I definitely don't want to do ministry. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be a son of God. And I want my life to be laid down. Because he says this, this is your spiritual worship. Worship is not just singing Christian karaoke on Sunday. But some of us do that. Is this my favorite song? I don't know if this is my favorite. I just wanted that other song. I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't care. We didn't write the song for you anyways. The song doesn't have your name in it. The song is not for you. It's for him. We didn't write it for you. And we come into church, I'm not mad at anybody, I promise. We come into church with all of our preferences. And we want church to look a certain way. And we want it to fit our thing of what church should be. Church should be what he wants it to be. And the reality is, if he doesn't like it, then we should stop doing it. If God doesn't like the way or the style or the type of way that we do or church that we do, we need to stop it and do something else. And we need to stop coming to him with our own agenda and just seek him for who he is. And actually go, what you deserve is not some of me, you deserve all of me because you gave all of yourself. You deserve my life. You deserve my best worship, even if I don't feel like it. You know what I love so much about starting a fire is I'll just say this. Some of you have come into church today feeling like your fire has left you. Anybody heard the phrase burning for the Lord? Okay, like we're going to burn for you, Jesus. Some of you have come into church and you feel like your fire is dim and you feel dry. And you might even feel dead inside. Anybody remember what first love with Jesus feels like? When you first get saved, and you first got delivered, and you first got healed, and now you're like dancing up at the altar, and then 10 years later, because of religion or circumstances, you're now sitting down in worship. Nothing wrong with sitting down in worship, but there was a day where you used to dance. There was a day where you used to want to just go crazy for the Lord, but something happened and you feel dry, you feel weary, you feel tired, you don't feel like you have that fire again. Let me encourage you. The fire is not your fire. You can't put out something that doesn't belong to you. You didn't lose your fire, and you can't lose the Lord. Unless you reject him, and that's a whole other sermon for another day, but you cannot lose the Lord. It just might be dim because you're not tending to the flame. And what works best on a fire is dry wood. So when you feel dry, just give him what you have. When you feel like, Lord, I'm waking up this morning, I don't even feel like a Christian after what I just did on the 4th of July, or whatever it is, whatever excuse you have, just give him the wood that you have. Just give him the dry wood that you have and watch the fire that you once had and that's dim turn into a roaring flame. But you have to tend to the fire. Luke 3:16 says this. This is John the Baptist. He says, I baptize you with water. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Did that happen? Yes, it did. I'll show you right now. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 3. Are you guys okay with this much Bible today? I just want to tie this string. I want to show you this theme throughout Scripture. So on the day of Pentecost, this is Acts 2, 1 through 3, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Okay, and after this, you know, you read the whole story in Acts chapter 2. They're speaking in tongues. They come out of the upper room. Completely different people. 120 disciples. This is after Jesus died, was buried, rose, and ascended into heaven. And Jesus told them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. These disciples, these followers of Jesus, were praying for 10 days in an upper room. And after on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit pours out, fire comes down from heaven, rests on them. They come out of that upper room. People thought they were drunk at 9 in the morning. Okay, that's a good day. Okay, they're coming out. They're joyful. They're like, whoa, I am happy today. Something has changed with me. Usually at 9 in the morning, everybody's going to Starbucks because you're so grumpy, okay? Or whatever your favorite coffee shop is. That's me in the morning. First thing I do, I go straight to my pour over. I'm like, yes, Lord, okay? But in the morning, no one really carries that kind of joy, but they did because they received the promise that came from heaven, the gift of God, the Spirit of God himself. And it says that day, 3,000 people came to Jesus after Peter preached. And it's not my point today, even though it's just a little bit of context. My point is the flame that you see all the way in Leviticus is now resting on the heads of people. The flame, the fire of God that once was on an altar in a temple is now resting on the heads of believers. Why is that so significant? And I wish this could be a class, Pastor Matthew, that we could totally just do about the fire of God and what it all means. We should probably do it. Pastor Matthew would do it better, way much better than me. You're such a good teacher. But if you can see this, and if you know Scripture, the temple of God is now not a building. The Bible says the temple of God is a people. And so where we once visited a tabernacle, guess what? You and I, if you are a follower of Jesus in this room, you are the tabernacle, the temple of God. God himself is tabernacle dwelling inside of you, and his fire is resting on your life that's given to him. And all you and I need to do, and if I could just grab every single one of you and tell you this, your job is the same job that the priest had in Leviticus 6. Your job is to every morning, every noon, every night, whenever is your time to meet with the Lord, your job, my job, is to tend to the flame of the Holy Spirit that's resting on our lives. Your life is a life laid down on the altar of the Lord, and it's your job, my job, to go, I'm going to tend to this flame because I don't want my fire to be quiet. I don't want my fire to be dim. I want my fire to be roaring for the Lord. And I want to minister to him, not go just to get something from him. If that's our prayer life, we are just scratching the surface. If every morning when we come to the Lord, it's just like, well, here's what I need from you. Nothing wrong with that. But he himself should be enough. The Bible says that if you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, all the things that you and I are worried about will just be added unto us. If we just sought the Lord. Church, I believe it's time to seek the Lord again. I believe it's time to seek his presence like you never have before. I believe it's time for a personal revival in your heart that creates a corporate revival in our church. And can you imagine if every day all of us in this place, and you might be saying, well, Pastor Jonah, I'm not spiritual enough. Yes, you are. You're born again. You're blood bought. You're forgiven. You're a new creation in Christ. Whether you feel like it or not, your feelings lie to you all the time. We don't live by what we feel. We live by faith. I don't care about what I feel like. I'm going to choose to wake up and grab my dry wood and go like, here's another wood on the fire today. Here's another peace. Here's another prayer. Here's another worship. Even when I don't feel like worshiping, I'm going to worship. Even when I don't feel like fasting, I'm going to fast. Why? Because I want his presence saturated on my life. I want to be dripping with God. Woo! So can you imagine this? Can you imagine if all of us did that? If we had daily encounters with the Lord that led to corporate encounters with God in our church? If you had daily personal encounters with God, and even if you didn't, but you were just faithful to go like, here's a piece of wood. Here's my little life. Every morning, I'm just going to keep throwing it down. What church should be, because this place is just another temple dedicated to the Lord. All of us, when we come to worship, what we're actually doing is we're bringing our wood corporately. Follow me. When we come here, instead of coming into church and going like, what can I get from you, God? How about, what can I give you today? Come on. It's got to click. Instead of coming to church, I'm going to say it again, and figuring out, what can I receive from God or from somebody today? What if it was, what can I give the Lord? How can I minister to the Lord as a priest today in God's house? You don't need a title. You don't need the title pastor. You don't need the title volunteer even. You don't need the title door holder or whatever we call that. That's what David called it. I'd rather be a door holder in the house of God. All you need the title of is priest, and you have it. All you need the title is son and daughter, and you have it. And what if we all brought our wood and the encounters with God that we've been having every day of the week? I believe that we would see a profound move of God. And that's what I want to see. I want people to come in here and go, I feel the fire of his presence here. Yes, they're going to come in here and feel loved and like they're a part of a family because Valley Church does that so well. But what if when people came in here, all that they could really feel is the cloud of his presence? Tangible. In the room. Tangible. Because we've taken our eyes off of ourselves and we've put it on the Lord. I promise you will get more breakthrough and more healing and freedom in your heart if instead of during worship looking at you, you look at him. Promise you. Because sometimes what we do, Dan Moeller actually says this, he'll probably say it when he comes here. Sometimes what we do in the presence of God is we're so navel-gazing and we're so focused on ourselves that we actually are worshiping ourselves instead of the Lord. Ouch is right. We're focused more on what's wrong with us, more on our problems or the mistake that we did, that we can't even engage his presence or worship because we're looking at ourselves the whole time. Or things like this. Have you done this? I've done this. I'll confess this. You're worshiping for other people to notice how spiritual you are. That's a modern day Pharisee right there, okay? But I've done that. Where it's like, I'm going to lift my hands because I want people to see how spiritual I am instead of lifting up my hands because I want to worship the Lord. Ah! And so we do these things. We make it all about these other things instead of the Lord. And I promise you, if you actually just make it about the Lord, the problems that you thought you had are just going to fall off of you supernaturally. Because you're looking at the only one who can set you free anyways. And here's a little bit of a gospel truth for you today. There's nothing wrong with you. Everything's actually right with you. Some of you, I hope you believe what I just said. The Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are actually wearing right now Jesus' righteousness. Like the best part of Jesus, his robe of righteousness is on you right now. You better just like grab that thing and just like start to snuggle with it, okay? Like I'm not letting go of his righteousness. Why? Because your righteousness and my righteousness can do nothing. Your best day compared to his best day, the Bible says, is filthy rags. Okay, that's just Bible. That's not me being mean. Okay, that's just the Bible. Our righteousness doesn't even compare, but his righteousness is a one-way ticket into his glory, into his presence. And if you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that means nothing is wrong with you with him. Yes. That means that when he looks at you, he doesn't see the wrong that you're focused on. When the Lord looks at you with his eyes of love, he is not concerned with the wrong you've done. He's concerned with the finished work of his son. And he looks at you and he says, you look sparkly today. You look squeaky clean. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're a new creation. You're my temple. I see my fire on you. I see my spirit inside of you. Why are you focusing on something that I've cast into a sea of forgetfulness? Why are you trying to bring up something that I have forgotten? Why are you trying to bring up something old that I've actually crucified on the cross? It says that he became sin who knew no sin so that you could become the righteousness of God in him. What's that mean? He became your worst so that you could partake of his best. On your worst and darkest day, he never lost sight of your value. He never lost sight of his love for you. It says that while you were still a sinner, he proved how much he loved you by dying on the cross. He didn't go like, well, someday they're going to be okay, and that's why I'm going to die for them. He's like, no, they're not doing too good, so I'm going to die. They're not looking too hot. They actually need a new life. They don't need a better life. They need a new life. They need to be died, buried, and resurrected just like me, so partake of this co-crucifixion. And so I want you to understand today, when you are approaching the Lord in the fire of his presence, you're not approaching it being wrong with God. You're approaching it being right with God. You don't have to be afraid that something is wrong with you. Yes, there's the fear of the Lord, but I want you to understand today that every day, because of his blood, you can boldly approach the Lord. You can boldly come to the Lord. Can I hear an amen today? I want to end, Jared, if you want to come on up. I want to share a dream that I had this week. Oftentimes the Lord speaks to me in dreams. Anybody else get dreams? It's awesome. There was a guy I went to Bethel with, and it was like every morning he had a dream from the Lord, and I got so jealous. He would come downstairs, and he was just like, had another prophetic dream last night, and I'm like, dude, what's wrong with you? Like, are you just trying to rub it in my face? You're just so spiritual, you know? And he was like, I actually never got dreams, and then I just asked the Lord, and I ask him every night, and he gives me dreams almost every night now because I ask for them. I asked the Lord to speak to me when I'm sleeping. So I started doing that, and it actually worked. So just take that, ask the Lord for dreams, and I believe he'll give them to you. But I had a dream this week, and this might sound like it might not have to do with my message, but I believe it does. I had a dream this week where a friend asked me, where is Lou Engel? Does anyone know who Lou Engel is? It's a good amount of people. If you don't know who Lou Engel is, Lou Engel is, he's a preacher, but he's really an intercessor for America. And he prayed and did meetings for over 20 years to end Roe v. Wade and that abortion would end in America. And he would do these meetings and sometimes 500,000, there was one time 500,000 people came to the mall in D.C. He would do these huge events called The Call. And what's incredible is after 20 years of praying, Roe v. Wade was overturned, which is incredible. you want to know what my stance is on that, I'm just basically telling you right now. But Roe v. Wade was overturned. And in my dream, this lady, this friend of mine asked, where is Lou Engle? And I said to her, I said, Lou is dead. And I woke up. And the first thing I did, and this is a dream, this is not real life, but when I woke up, now we're in real life. Are you following me? I woke up, first thing I did, Instagram. I was like, there's no way, you know? I go on Instagram, Lou is not dead, he is alive. Praise the Lord, okay? But I look on Instagram, and I'm gonna do this right now. The first thing that I saw on his Instagram page, Lou Engle, was a post that says this: remember, revival isn't cheap. Revival is the eruption of God's heart on a life poured out. Commit yourself to prayer, fasting, and worship day after day. Let me read that one more time. This is what Lou Engle said. Revival isn't cheap. Revival is the eruption of God's heart on a life poured out. Commit yourself to prayer, fasting, and worship day after day. And then he says this: live a life of fasting and prayer, and God may place you on the stage of history. Be faithful in little and preserve for years if need be. And then when I read that, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. He said, Jonah, Lou isn't dead, but if the church doesn't get back to prayer and tending to the flame day after day, the spirit of Lou will die in the church of America. That spirit of prayer, that spirit that says, I'm going to seek the Lord day after day. I'm going to pray for things like Roe v. Wade to be overturned. I'm going to pray for things like trafficking to come to an end. I'm going to pray for revival in my city. I'm going to pray for a move of God. I'm going to pray that personal revival happens in my heart. And God is looking, I believe, for some Lou Engles in this room. For some people who will say, I'm done living timid with my faith. I'm done living with a dim flame. I want to lay my life on the altar of his presence again and let the world watch me burn for the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I have found myself in these days, especially after hearing so many things happening in the church, even the church that I just came from, I just feel so desperate for the Lord. I feel so desperate for his presence. And I feel like as a church, we need to repent and come back to our first love and just say, Lord, here's my life again. Here's my little dry wood. I just want to burn for you again. Would you send fire from heaven? Would you send your presence on my little life and do something with this little life? Lord, I want to lay it at your feet again. I want to come to the altar and get refreshed by your presence. Acts 3:19 says this: repent and times of refreshing will come in the presence of the Lord. If you don't feel fresh, you just need to be refreshed, and it only comes from his presence. And so here's what I want to do. I want our ministry team to come on up. I don't feel like I need to. I was going to talk to you a little bit about the Hebrides revival, but maybe a different day. Actually, I will talk about this as they're coming up. Anybody heard about the Hebrides revival? Hebrides, I see that hand in the back. Hebrides revival was a revival that happened on a little island, the Hebrides Island, not a lot of people there. But it took place because two old ladies, 82, 86, Peggy and Christine Smith, prayed for the youth of their island to come to know the Lord, and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened. I believe that the Lord wants to do that at this church. But it takes us going like, I need to get on fire again. Not waiting for revival, actually leaning into the fire yourself and saying, you know what? I'm not burning like I used to. And burning doesn't have to do with performance. Burning just has to do with laying your life down at his altar. And what would happen if today you leave this place with some more wood on your flame that's inside of your heart? What if you left this place on fire like you used to be? I believe that something's going to shift in our families, in our cities, and in this place. And so can you guys just all stand to your feet? And here's what I want to ask you. I'm not going to manipulate an altar call or hype you up to come down here. But if what I'm talking about today, you can feel it in your heart where you're just like, I just want more. I just want more of his presence. I want more of the flame of his spirit in my life. Young, all the way. I don't care if you're 9 or 90. It's not time to retire. It's time to refire. If you're looking down at your old age, can I tell you, you have something to give the next generation. It doesn't matter. You still have something to give. And God wants to put fire on the flame inside of your heart. If that's you today and you're like, I want more, I just want you to come up here right now. God wants to do something fresh in you today. He wants to do something fresh in your heart today. I believe he wants to do something holy. He wants to do something set apart, something otherly. And this is not charismatic. This is biblical. This is not just because we're Pentecostal. This is Bible. It's not a denomination thing. It's a Holy Spirit thing. It's a holy thing. Just close your eyes all over this place. Lord, your presence is sweet in this place. Your presence is pure and holy in this place. And here's what's going to happen. This whole front, this right by the platform, this is becoming an altar today. This is an altar. This is a place where you're going to lay your life down, like Romans 12 says again. And I'm just going to call you out right now. Some of the youth, you're waiting for this to happen to you at camp. You need this to happen now. Some of you are like, I'll just wait for this altar call at camp. No. I'm going to be your older brother today and say, you need this now. And if you're like waiting, you're like, I don't know, but my friends aren't going up here. Come up here. Come up here. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep your eyes closed all over this place. If you need to kneel, kneel. Holy Spirit, we set our eyes on you. We set our attention on you. Lord, I ask for you to do what only you can do. I ask you to do what only you can do. Not what some man can do. Do what only you can do. And would you rekindle and blow on the flame that's grown dim in our hearts? I love that in Acts chapter 2, it was wind and fire. Because when a fire is growing dim, it needs wind. It needs oxygen. It needs something outside. We cannot stoke the fire on our own strength or performance. We need the wind of your spirit. We need the wind of your spirit. I cannot light myself on fire. You light us on fire. I cannot blow on the fire in my heart. You blow on the fire on my heart. It's not something man can do. It's only something the Lord can do. It's only something your wind can do. We ask you, come on, all over this place. We ask you, wind, come and blow. Come and blow, Spirit of God. Come and blow. and let your fire light in our hearts fresh today. God, I ask you for fresh passion. I ask you for fresh passion where we've grown weary, where we've grown complacent, where we've grown tired. I ask for times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. And I pray for kind of a grit, this thing where it says, even if I don't feel like it, I'm running. I'm running. I'm not going to be the one who misses Jesus when he walks in the room. I'm not going to be the one that misses him when he is here. Come on, I just thank you, Lord, for it fresh all over this place. And ministry team, if you can just go through and just begin to lay hands. Just begin to lay hands. Our ministry team's just going to go. And if you can just come up even closer, I believe something fresh is about to take place in this place. I just believe it. Things are going to break. The stagnancy, the dryness, the weariness. Come on, come and blow, Spirit of God. Come and blow, Spirit of God. Let the fire of your presence come. Thank you, Lord.